Tonight's year is on Megillus Rus, and the title of the show tonight is Kissing and Controlling the Yetzer Hara. So tonight, we're gonna look at some Midrashim that come from Megillus Rus, and they also explain a little bit about Megillus Rus itself, but they're also separate ideas on their own, and they're related to two different topics. One is kissing, when the Torah points out that a certain person kisses another person. What does it mean, or what's the value of that? And the second part of the shir is another medrash related to Megillus Rus, and it's referring to controlling your yetzer hara and different advice that the medrash gives us with regard to this element. So if we look in source number one, we'll start with Perek Aleph in Megillus Rus, and we'll read through a couple of psukim, starting with Pasuk Yud Aleph. So it says, "Vatomer Naomi Shovna Vinosai Lama Selachna Imi Ha'olanu Vanim B'me'ai V'hiu Lachem." La Nashim. So first, if we're all familiar with the story, if not, so Rus and had her husband and two sons, and they were married to Rus and Orpah, and the sons died and her husband died, and they at first agree to go with Naomi wherever she goes, but eventually Naomi says, "Go back to your land and leave me." So she says in Yud Aleph, "Go back. Because why are you going with me? Do I have any children in my womb that I'm going to have? I'm going to have a baby, and you're going to get married to it." Shovna v'nosai lechna kizaganti miyos leish ki amarti yashli sekva gam yisi alay leish v'gam yolati vanim. First, she says she's too old to be married at this point, and she has no hope. And then she says, even if I did get married and I did have children, halahein etesaberna adasher yigdalu halahein teagina levoltia yos leish el v'nosai ki marli meod mikem. She says, are you really going to wait for these boys to get older and then get married to them? And she ends this pasuk with, Hashem has been very bitter to me, more bitter than you. And then in looking at Dal, it says, so Orpah listens to Naomi and she goes back to her land. But Rus stays with Naomi. So it says in the pasuk that they were crying, and it says, Vatishak Orpah l'chamosa, that Orpah, she kissed l'chamosa, her mother-in-law, v'rus dafkaba, but Rus stayed with her. Vatomer, heina shavna yivim, hine shavna yivim tech elama, v'el elohe shuvi achare yivim tech. And then she says to Rus, you should go back to your land like Orpah, but Rus says, no, I'm not going to, and of course, that's the idea that Rus ends up converting, and we know the whole story of Rus that we read on Shavuos. So the main pasuk that we're going to focus on that there's a medrash on is related to the kiss of Orpah to her mother-in-law, Lachamusa. So it says in Yudalid, Vatisena kolon vatifkena o vatishak Orpah Lachamusa v'rus tafkaba. So initially, Orpah did not want to leave Naomi, but this on the second go-round, Naomi convinces Orpah to leave, but Rus doesn't listen to her, and Rus stays with Naomi. So what's the main focus of the shir is on the idea of a kiss, of the kiss of Orpah to her mother-in-law. Is there any idea there? So the Medrash, in source number two, it's Rus Rabbah, it's Medrash Rabbah on Rus, mentions that there is a concept behind this kiss. So it says, Vatishak, we're in source number two, Vatishak Orpah l'chamosa kol neshika shel tiflus bar mintlus. So anytime there's neshika, there's kissing, it's really nothingness or nonsense. And we'll see the Torah Tmima says it might be an avera, but really means nothingness or nonsense. So all kissing is just nonsensical, except for three situations. Neshika shel gedula. So one situation is when a person achieves a higher position. So if a person gets appointed, for example, president, or a person gets appointed CEO of the company, so there's an idea of kissing somebody when in that process. The second one is neshika shel prakim. If you haven't seen somebody in a really long time, and you're finally coming back to see them, you should kiss them. There's an idea of a kiss there. Uneshika shel prishus. And the last idea of neshika, which is tied to Rus, is a neshika, a kissing of separation. Before people separate, they should kiss each other. There's an idea of kissing. So what is this? Shel gedula d'chsiv, what are the proofs? So the Medrash brings down different proofs as to why these kisses are valuable. So shel gedula d'chsiv, v'yikach shmu al spach ha-shemen, v'yitzok al rosho, v'yishakeyu. So the first example is by Shmuel for Shaul, that Shmuel, when he anointed Shaul as king, he gave him a nice kiss. So that's the first example. So there's an idea there. Shel prakim d'chsiv, Vayifkasheu Bahar Halohim Vayishak Lo. So the second example is by Aaron and Moshe, that Hashem mentioned that Aaron was going to go to Har Elokim to meet him, and it says when Aaron went there that he kissed him. It says Vayishak Lo. So they hadn't seen each other in a really long time, and Aaron gave him a kiss. And then the last example is Shalprishus. So kissing when you separate from somebody else, Shnemar Vatishak Orpa Lachamosa. We see that there's an idea that Orpah is teaching us in her Nishika of her Chamosa, of her mother-in-law, Naomi. And it says, and then Rabbi Tanchuma Amar Af Nishika Shel Krevas. And he adds that there's an extra one. What's the extra one? It's a Nishika of relatives of Krevas. Shnemar, as it says, Vayishak Yaakov L'Rachel. That when Yaakov first met Rachel by the Be'er, he gives her a kiss. Lama, why? Shahaisa Krovasa. She was his relative. They were cousins. Vatomer, Hine Shava Yivimtech, Kevon Sheshava Lama, Shava El Eloheha. And then it says at the end of the Pasuk, at the end of the Medrash, that Orpah, she didn't keep Judaism anymore, Yehados, and she returned back to her Avodah Zarah. So of course the Medrash is interesting, but just to summarize the Medrash in source number 2, it's trying to teach us that kissing in general is nothingness, is nonsensical, except for in 3 situations. And the 3 situations are when a person gets appointed to a high position, when a person meets somebody after they haven't seen them in a long time, and when they separate from each other. And then Rav Tanchuma adds one more. There's an idea of kissing a relative. And then, so we have to understand what this idea of the Medrash is. First of all, why is kissing nonsensical in general, tiflis? And second of all, is there a thread that we can try to draw out from all these scenarios, these three situations that we can...
Are you on the floor right now?
Hello? Hello? Yeah, so the other question is there a thread between all these 3 cases? Is there a common theme as to what the value of a kiss is that the Torah is representing or emphasizing? So what is that theme? Maybe we can highlight the theme of these three cases and the fourth one according to Rav Tanchuma. And also Rav Tanchuma kind of separates the fourth one. So what's the separation? So we're going to try to analyze this Medrash and understand the Torah's idea of kiss. What's kissing in the Torah's, or the value of kissing in the Torah. So let's try to understand that. So before we answer that, those questions, we have to look at the Torah Tmima. The Torah Tmima has an explanation. I think it's a little bit limited, and we'll try to go further, take it in a little different direction than the Torah Tmima. So if you look in source number 3, the Torah Tmima says on this Medrash, Inyan Hashem Tiflus B'Lashon Rabbanon Hu Davar Shein Bo Mamish. So what does the Medrash mean when it says Tiflus? It means something that there's nothing to. There's nothing to it. It's empty. So all kisses are, in general, are empty. O Davar Avera, or it could be even a negative thing. U'kamash HaKasav Yerushalmi Tainis Perek Dalad Gabe Meraglim. So the Lashon of Tiflus is used by the Meraglim. Atem B'chisem L'fonai B'chia Shel Tiflus. You cried for no reason, and it's a negative thing. Haviyasidin atem lifkos b'chia shel mamish. Eventually, you will cry something that there is a substance to. And that was over the Beis HaMikdash and also losing Eretz Yisrael. B'chosef kebalayla, and that's the pasuk from Eicha. So the first point that the Torah Tmima makes is that when the Medrash says that kissing in general is tiflus, it means that either it means that there's nothing to it, or it means that it's even a negative. So we have to understand, why is that so? So he gives a good idea here, the Torah Tmima. He says, V'chein kol nishikos hein shel tiflus, im lasos chenef re'eu, o anishika ba mis'ave b'sarim. So either, most of the time he says, nishika is either to flatter somebody, or it's lustful. It comes from the taivas, the lustful desires. Milvad, except for these 3 cases in the Medrash and the 4th case, milvad nishika shel prishos. The first is that the idea of a nishika when you separate from somebody else. So by Orpah was leaving her mother-in-law, she gives her a kiss. There's a value to that. Shnei Reim ish ma'achiv, when 2 friends leave each other, kimo hacha, like in our case by Rus. So he says that the value of the kiss in the situation of Shaul was in order to show him kavo, to show him respect in front of the nation. Also relatives, there's an idea of kissing your relative. And so too, by Aaron and Moshe, they hadn't seen each other in a very long time, and it was appropriate for them to kiss. So what is the idea? The Torah Tmima is saying that kissing in general is usually an expression of lust, or it's an expression of flattery. But in these situations, there's an idea, there's a concept to the kiss, to the kissing. So he tries to give an idea by Shmuel. He says it's kavod, and in the others, but he doesn't really explain on a deeper level what the value of a kiss is in the Torah, how when the Torah recommends that a kiss be made, and what the idea is, what's the philosophical or psychological benefit of kissing in these situations. So we'll try to explain that. We'll try to come up with an idea. So before we do that, in order to explain it, let's just go through the different sources that the Medrash quotes, and then I think there's one idea that really unites all the cases. And while I'm speaking and while I'm giving this share, maybe other people on the phone line can just try to think about a possibility, and when we come to the end, you guys can give it a shot, okay? So again, let's look at the sources inside. Some of them don't really add much, but others give us a little more information that I think will help us in terms of defining this Medrash. So if you look in source number 4, Shmuel Aleph Parag Yud, it says, Vayikach Shmuel es pach Hashemen vayitoka rosho vayishakehu vayomer halo ki mashchacha Hashem mishachacha Hashem al nachla solu nagid. So Shmuel, he anoints Shaul with oil and he gives him a kiss, a big kiss. And he says, Hashem has anointed you as a leader over this, over the people and over this, over the land and over the people. And that is your Nachla. Or that is his Nachla, Hashem's Nachla. But you are now going to be the leader, the Melech. So the first example is the idea of Gedula. When a person achieves a higher level, or a higher state, a state of supremacy, like Shaul, it's appropriate to kiss him. So the question is why? So the Torah Tmima says that the reason is in order to be mechabed him in front of the people, but I was looking through the psukim, it's not so clear that this was in public. It perhaps could have been in private. So if it were in private, we'd have to understand what the value is. And also, furthermore, it sounds like the Medrash are saying in general, not just if it's a public event, but even in private, if somebody achieves or is appointed to a high position, you should kiss him. So why is there a value, or what is the value of kissing somebody when they get appointed to a higher position? So that's one question. So let's go to the next idea. The next story is the story between Aaron and Moshe. So there's a little more background here. So it says in source number 5, it's Shmos Perek Dalet. It says, Vayomer Hashem al Aaron, lech likras Moshe amidbara, vayelech vayifgesheu bahar lokim vayishak lo. So Moshe kept refusing the shlichos of Hashem. And eventually Hashem says that he's going to send Aaron to Moshe, and Aaron will be the speaker, and Moshe will be the person who's the leader, and will tell Aaron what to say. And he says to Vayomer Hashem al Aaron, Hashem says to Aaron, go and meet up with Moshe. And look in source number 5, we're in Pasuk Chav Ches. Vayigid Moshe l'Aaron, eis kol divrei Hashem asher shalacho, veis kol osos asher tivo. Sorry, we just skipped in Chav Zayin. At the end it says, Vayishak lo, that Aaron gave him a kiss when he met him, when he met Moshe. And then it says, Vayigid Moshe l'Aaron, Moshe told Aaron about all the details of the shlichos and all the osos, all the miracles. Vayilach Moshe v'Aaron, vayasu es kol ziknei b'nei Yisrael. And then they gathered all of the zikanim in order to accomplish the shlichos of Hashem. So Hashem says to Aaron to go meet Moshe, and Aaron, what does he do? He gives Moshe a kiss when he meets up with him. So it seems nice. So if you look in the Rashbam, look in source number 6. The Rashbam says, Lech lekras Moshe lekaima shamar lo kadosh baruch hu gam hinei yotzei lekrasecha v'racha v'samach bilibo. So this was a kiyum, it was a fulfillment of the promise that Hashem made to Moshe that Aaron would end up going out and being happy to see him. And if you look in the sources in source number 7 and 8, there's actually a little more background. It says, "Vayichar Af Hashem b'Moshe, Vayomer Halo Aaron Achicha Levi Adati Ki Daberi Daberhu V'Gam Hinei Yotzei Likrasecha V'Racha V'Samach B'Libo." So Hashem is getting frustrated with Moshe, and he says to him that Aaron's gonna come meet with you, and he's gonna be happy. And if you look in source number 8, Rashi says, "V'Racha V'Samach B'Libo Lo K'Shata Savor She'Emakbid Alecha She'Ata Ola Legdula." It's not that Aaron's not going to be jealous of you because you've achieved this high position. He says, "Misham zoch Aaron le'idei achoshen nosan alev." So Aaron was zoche to the ornaments of the choshen that was placed on his heart because of the idea that Aaron wasn't jealous of Moshe. So that's the background. So the background is that Moshe didn't think that Aaron was going to be so happy to see him. He was going to be jealous of him. And in the end, Aaron goes out to see him and he's happy for him and he gives him a kiss. So that's the second case of kissing in the Torah. So the third case is the case of Yaakov, is our case by Rus, excuse me. So we already saw that by Rus. It says that Orpah gave her a kiss before she left, gave Naomi a kiss. And then finally, the last case is the case of Yaakov and Rachel. So it says by Yaakov and Rachel, in source number 9, Vayihi kasher ra Yaakov es Rachel bas lovan achi imo ves son lovan achi imo vayigash Yaakov vayogel seven al pi abir vayashka son lovan achi imo. So when Yaakov saw Rachel coming, he had just escaped from Esav, and he went to go live with Lavan, and he saw Rachel, and he got excited, and he takes the stone off of the Be'er, and he gives water to the cattle of Lavan. Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel, vayisos kolo vayifk, and Yaakov kissed Rachel, and he started crying. Vayagid Yaakov l'Rachel ki achi aviyahu v'chi ven rivka hu v'atarit v'atagid l'aviyah. And Rachel goes back and tells Lavan everything that happened. And this is the last source. If you look in source number 10, Rabbeinu Bachya says, Vayishak Yaakov l'Rachel ketana haisa. She was ketana. She was a small girl. Shelo haisa adayin ru'uy libal. She wasn't ready for bia. She couldn't have bia with him. She was under 3. V'alkein masar Lavan atzon biyada v'lo masram biyad Leah gedola mimeno. That's why Lavan gave the tzon, the cattle, to her and not to Leah, who was older. So one explanation is that Rachel was a little girl and Yaakov gave her a kiss. So it wasn't, the point of Rabbeinu Bachya is that it wasn't a lustful kiss. Ki yaisa ru'uya le'ish yosheves b'bayis. That's by Leah. Leah stayed home because she was old enough that she could get married. Oh no, Marsha, nishika zos haisa nishika sarosh o akasef. Or he kissed her on the head or on the shoulder. Ki lo amar kasev b'fi Rachel. It doesn't say that he kissed her on the mouth. So there's an idea there though, because our Medrash said that there's only a value to kissing in 4 situations. 3 it groups together, and the 3 are as follows. One is Gedula, and that's the story of Shmuel to Shaul, that when Shmuel anointed him, he gave Shaul a kiss. The second one is the whole situation with Aaron and Moshe, that Aaron, when he hadn't seen Moshe in a long time, and Hashem says that Aaron will be excited, and Aaron is excited, and he gives him a kiss. The third situation is Orpah, when Orpah leaves Chamosa, her mother-in-law, and Naomi, she gives her a kiss. And the last situation is Yaakov to Rachel, that Yaakov kisses Rachel, and the Mefarshim say, Rabbeinu Bachya says that it wasn't like a lustful kiss, because she was either a ketana or it was a kiss on her forehead. So what is the idea of the Medrash? When is it appropriate to kiss? When is it inappropriate? When is it tiflus to kiss another person, to kiss another human being? When is it tiflus and when is it a good thing? And what's the value of kissing that the Medrash is trying to highlight here in these 3 examples or 4 examples? Okay, those are all the questions. Anybody have any possibilities before I give an idea or a svar? Anybody? Feel free to speak up. Okay, so I think that the idea is as follows. So I think that the Torah Tmimo is right on point with the Tiflis idea, that really, in general, kissing is usually an expression of lust. It's not really, there's no inherent value to the kiss. But at times, there's a value, there's a perfection, or philosophical, it's not a perfection, more of a philosophical value to kissing. And these are all situations where there is a value. So I think that there's one theme, at least in the first 3 cases. And the theme is the idea of separation. That whenever there's separation between people, there's always a potential for harm or damage emotionally, and there's always a lot of festering emotions that emerge when there's separation. And a kiss, the idea of a kiss, psychologically, is an idea of a bond. It creates, when you kiss another person, it's connection. There's a connection there, but it creates an intense, immediate bond between you and the person that you're kissing. So I think that that's the idea here. But in certain situations, it's valuable, not just to satisfy an emotion, but it's also valuable philosophically. So what are those situations? So what I mean by separation is that when a person achieves a higher level, gedula, to become the king, for example, by Shaul, but in any situation, there's always an idea of or a feeling of separation on the part of the person who achieves that higher degree or higher level. So when a person's a melech, he's no longer a regular person. Now he's a king. Now he's a monarch. It's a different status, and he feels, or it's natural for a person to feel separated. And it's a good thing, but it could be negative, aside from the ego problems with feeling a separation. But also, there's also paranoia and jealousy. Whenever you feel separated from the common people, from other people, there's always the potential for negative emotions to creep in and to affect your decision-making, affect your your ability to succeed. So initially, whenever you're appointed into a high position to be king, there's always a sense of separation from others that emerges. And I think the idea of a kiss, the kiss of Shmuel to Shaul, is to create that that lack of separations, to create that bond, that initial bond, and that immediate bond in order to break down that potential paranoia, that potential jealousy, that potential feeling of separation that emerges when a person achieves a higher level, a higher position. And so too in these other situations as well. So we saw by Moshe and Aaron that by Moshe and Aaron, they hadn't seen each other in a long time, and Moshe was concerned that Aaron would be jealous of him, and Aaron gave him a kiss. So what's the value there? So the kiss was to demonstrate to Moshe that there shouldn't be any awkwardness between the two. There's no festering emotions, negative emotions. And really, Moshe had a shlichus. He was a messenger of Hashem, and he had to fulfill this. And he needed Aaron to be on board right away. So you see in the psukim that as soon as Aaron demonstrated that there's no awkwardness and that there shouldn't be any feeling or sense of festering emotions or negative emotions between the two, so they get to the point. It says in look in source number 5, Chaf Ches, Vayaged Moshe l'Aaron, Eis Kol Divrei Hashem, Asher Shalacho. So you see over there that as soon as Aaron gives him a kiss, now that breaks down any awkwardness or any feeling or potential feeling of a sense of negative emotions between the two, and now they can move forward with their mission. And lastly, by Orpah and Erchamosa, so whenever you separate, there's always a potential for a resentment. You know, she's leaving me, I'm leaving her, or with friends too. There's always a potential for a resentment or feeling of resentment. And the kiss, it kind of prevents those festering emotions from emerging. And I think that the idea by Orpah also, why does the Torah tell us at the end of the Pasuk that she went back to, the Medrash says that she went back to her gods, her own Avodah Zarah? I think it's trying to show us that it wasn't because of, and it's tied to the Medrash itself, it's trying to show us that it wasn't because of her leaving, because of the festering or negativity that she had with Naomi, that caused her to go back to her Avodah Zarah. In fact, it's the opposite, that when they left each other, there was no bad feelings, there was no bad resentment, no bad emotions between the two. And in fact, that's what Naomi says to Orpah, go away, I'm not going to feel negative towards you. And Orpah gives her a kiss, meaning when you separate from somebody, there's always a potential for resentment. So the idea was to prevent that resentment from festering and creating a harm to the person, to the people involved. So again, there's three common themes in the first three examples. It's the idea of separation, that whenever there's separation between man and other people, so whether it's achieving a higher level, whether it's not seeing somebody for a long time or leaving somebody else, there's always emotions that can fester, negativity. There's always, maybe there's a feeling of jealousy. There's a feeling that the person isn't going to be excited to see me. There's a feeling that the person's going to resent the fact that we're separating from one another. So in order to prevent those emotions from taking charge and to prevent those emotions from causing damage, so the idea of a kiss is that the kiss creates an immediate bond and a connection that breaks down any festering negative emotions. And that's the idea of the Medrash. The Medrash is showing you that there are three situations where a kiss isn't just tiflis. It's not just an expression of the lust or the flattery, but there's an idea to it. There's a benefit to it that it prevents emotions, negative emotions, from emerging and from creating or causing damage or harm. So what about the last case? The last case was Yaakov and Rachel. So I think there's one other idea here. There's one other benefit to a situation of kissing, and that's the relative situation. Relative, not relatively speaking, but your relatives. So I was thinking about an example of this. The example I was thinking about is that I always get into a common discussion with my wife about cousins, the cousin relationship, because I don't have any first cousins. And I don't really understand the cousin relationship. And my wife has a lot of first cousins, I think like 30 or so, maybe more, first cousins. And she's constantly going to simchas, and there's constantly things to go to because of it. And in my mind, it's always, you know, if you don't have a relationship, a personal relationship, what's the value? You know, why do we have to go? It's always a struggle. Why do we have to go to the wedding? But my wife's like, you don't understand the cousin relationship. There's a feeling of a sense of family. There's a natural feeling of blood, of relatedness that I can't really, talk to you about, or it's hard to explain to you. So I think that that's the last idea in the Medrash. The last idea in the Medrash is that there is a reality to the Torah is recognizing the reality of of being a relative, being a cousin. Because Yaakov and Rachel were cousins, and you see that he kisses her. So what's it telling you? It's telling you that there's a natural emotion of we're related to each other, we're blood relatives. And sometimes that's beneficial, and Yaakov was trying to tap into that because he was, look at this situation, Yaakov was scared, he was running away from Esav, his mother sent him to Lavan, he didn't really know them at all, and he was trying to break down the anxiety that he felt, and he was trying to break down any sense of, awkwardness that might emerge because he hadn't seen them in a long time and because he wasn't really, he wasn't really in contact with them. And by kissing Rachel, he was creating an immediate bond, but also tapping into that idea of we're related to one another. Let's help each other out. And there's a benefit to that. There's a benefit and a reality to the fact that when you feel that you're related to somebody and there's a blood relationship, you feel like you should help them more than just the average person. And I think that's what the Medrash is saying at the end, that there's a positive to kissing a relative in the sense that it taps into those emotions, and those are good things. Those are a good in many situations. And by Yaakov, he needed his uncle, Lavan, to help him, and he needed Rachel to help him in order to survive. So that's the idea of the kiss of Yaakov, that Yaakov kissed her in order to create a bond and to tap into that, we're related to one another, we're blood relatives, emotion that exists, that's real. Okay, so again, so that's the Medrash. So the first is the idea of kissing. And as, going back to the title, kissing and controlling the Yetzer Hara, the idea of kissing in the Torah, or the value of kissing, isn't that it's just an expression of the lust or an expression of flattery, but there's an idea to kissing. And these are all situations where kissing has a value outside of just fulfilling an emotional drive. And these are all situations where, in the first three, there are situations where there's a harm in the idea that the emotions fester when there's separation between people. But the last idea is a positive idea. It's that when you're a relative to one another, there is a benefit to creating a bond and to creating a closeness there because there's a natural feeling or sense that you should help somebody that you're tied to through blood, and that's a good thing, and it shouldn't be avoided. And it benefited Yaakov in that situation. Okay, so that's the first Medrash. The second Medrash is controlling your Yetzirah. So we learn another idea from Megillas Rus in another part of a later Medrash with regard to Rus. So look in source number 11. Anybody have any questions on the first part of the shir? So the first part of the shir was about kissing in the Torah. The second part of the shir is about the Yetzer Hara, and how do you control the Yetzer Hara? So if you look in source number 11, it says,
Umra... question I have.
Yeah, go ahead.
Which part? So, like with the relatives, if it's like a natural thing, so why do they need... It sounds like they need something to, like...
Exactly.
I don't know.
Because sometimes it's natural, but it doesn't get it has to be tapped into. Like when there's a natural feeling like that, but it's a benefit to tap into it. So that's what I'm saying. Yaakov, if he hadn't kissed her, so maybe she would have treated him like the relative, been excited to see him, and she would have done these things anyways. But Yaakov recognized that by giving her a kiss, he was almost igniting that emotion or letting it come to the surface. So yeah, it always exists and it's natural, but when you give somebody a kiss, it could bring that emotion up to the surface and people, it brings that idea to light. So that's the idea that Yaakov was trying. He's trying to create a bond, an initial connection in order to bring that emotion to light, to bring that sense of we're connected to one another naturally to light. Okay?
Thank you.
No problem. All right, thank you. So look in source number 11. So the end... So now there's another medrash here. It's interesting. So Amar Rav Yossi, Shlosha Hein Sheba Yitzron L'Sakvan V'Nizdar Zalav Kol Echad V'Echad B'Shvua. So there was three individuals who were their Yetzer Hara, their evil inclination, their drives, their lust, their instinctual drives were really strong, and they were about to take control over them, and they decided to make a Shvua. They swore to Hashem to not do those actions. So who are those? V'Elahen, Yosef, V'David, U'Boaz. So Yosef, David, and Boaz from Megillas Rus. Yosef, Dichsev. By Yosef, it's the story of Eshes Potiphar. He says, V'Eich Esa Ragdala, Zos, how could I do such a bad thing? Rav Chunya B'Shem, Rav Idi, Klum Karya Chaser. V'Chatasi L'Elokim, V'Chatasi L'Hashem, Ein Ksev, Kan El V'Chatasi L'Elokim. So he learns out from the fact that the Pasuk should have said V'Chatasi L'Hashem, but it says V'Chatasi L'Elokim. So skip the parentheses and go to the brackets. Nishbal Yitzro, he made a shvua to his Yetzer Hara. He swore to his Yetzer Hara, the Omar, Lelokim, Eini Chote, Veini Osa Ragdol Azos, to Hashem, to God, I am not going to be a Chote, a sinner, and not going to do this. So the first example is Yosef. He had to swear to his Yetzer Hara in order to not sleep with Eshes Potiphar. So we have to understand, what's the value of swearing to your Yetzer Hara? What does that even mean? To swear to it. Look at David. David Minayin. Where do we know the story about David? Shneamar, Vayomer David, Chai Hashem, Kim Hashem, Yigafenu. So David, the story is by David and Shaul, that David had an opportunity to kill Shaul. We'll see it later. And instead of killing him, he makes a shvua that he's not going to kill Shaul. And there's a machlokas there, Lemi Nishba. Who did he make the shvua to? Rav Elazar, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman, Rav Elazar Amar Liyitzro Nishba. He had to make a shvua to his Yetzer Hara. He had to control his Yetzer Hara by making a shvua, by swearing that I'm not going to give into it, I'm not going to kill Shaul. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachman Amar L'Avishai Ben Tzruya Nishba. He made Avishai Ben Tzruya, he swore to Avishai Ben Tzruya that you can't kill Shaul. Avishai Ben Tzruya was his Yoav's brother, and he was his army general, or one of his army generals, and we'll see the story in a little bit. Amar Lo, Chai Hashem, so David said, by the life of Hashem, Im Tigabo, if you touch him, if you harm Shaul, Shanochi Ma'arbev Damcha Im Damo, I'm going to mix his dam with your dam. Okay, so that's the second example, Boaz Minayan, and the last example is by Boaz. Shneamar Chai Hashem Shichvi Ad HaBoker. So when he was alone with Rus, he makes a shvua to Hashem that she should stay with him till the morning. Rav Yehuda Rav Chunya, Rav Yehuda Omer Kol Osa Laila HaYitzra Mekadriko V'Omer. So the whole night, Boaz was being enticed to sleep with Rus. And he kept saying, to him, the Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination, his lust, kept saying, At Panoi Umevakesh Isha. So you're single and you want a wife. Vihi Panuya Umevakesh Ish. And she wants a man. Amud obola, so be with her. V'tia l'cha l'isha, so she'll be a wife to you. V'nishba l'yitzro, and he had to make a shvua to his yitzro hara to not give into it. V'amar chay Hashem she'ini nogeba, I'm not going to touch her. V'l'isha amar shechvi adaboker imegalech tov yigael. So he told her to wait with her, but he didn't sleep with her. Rav Chunya amar k'siv gever chacham ba'oz, gever chacham boaz v'ish das ma'amitz koach shen izdariz al yitzro b'shvua. So Mishlei alludes to the strength of Boaz in making a shvua to his Yetzer Hara in order to protect himself from sleeping with Rus. So again, so this is a similar type of medrash than before. There's three examples of when people, various tzaddikim, made a shvua. They had to swear to Hashem in order to control their Yetzer Hara. And those three are Yosef, and there was David, and the last case is Boaz. So let's look at those cases a little bit in depth, and then we'll give one idea to explain that as well. So if you look in source number 12, it's by Yosef. He says, "Any and any gadol b'bayis zeh mimeni v'lo chasach mimeni meuma ki mosach b'asher at ishto ve'echesa ragdol azos v'chatosi lelokim." So Yosef was left alone with Eshes Potiphar, and apparently she was very beautiful, and she was enticing him. And he says to himself, "How could I do this? How could I sin towards Hashem, towards God?" So in the medrash over there in source number 14, look in source number 14. He says, "And any gadol medrash." Amru Rabbeinu, Amar lo Yosef, Hein Adoni, Misyari Ani Me'adon Ha'olam. So Yosef said to her, I'm scared from Hashem, the master of the universe. Amru lo, and then he roe uscha. He can't see you. Amar lo, Ha'gadol Hashem Mula Me'od. So Yosef responded and said, no, Hashem is great, and he can see everything. Amru of Avin, Hechnisa Oso L'chadre Chadarim. So she took him into a private room. Ad Shem Mida Oso L'fnei Mitasa. And she basically stood him up by her bed. There was an idol by her, and it was above her bed. She took a handkerchief and covered the Avodah Zarah. Yosef said, you can cover the Avodah Zarah, but you can't hide from Hashem. And then at the end of the medrash says, "V'chatasi l'elokim nishba shel yigaba elokim Hashem hu yodeh shelo eseh adavar raza." Then he makes a shvua that he's not going to be with her. So again, the question is, what was the value of the shvua? Why did Yosef have to make a shvua in order to not sleep with Eshes Potiphar? Okay, that's the first question. And then there's a story of Shmuel and Shmuel by David and Shaul. So let me just describe it. I don't think we have to read it inside, but the story is, it's actually an interesting story as well, that David was being chased by Shaul. And he finds out where Shaul is encamped. And he decides to sneak into Shaul's camp with Avishai ben Tsruya, who agrees to do it. And there was a nais there that Hashem, at night, they were all sleeping, and they couldn't hear David and Avishai. And they're right by Shaul's head. And there's a spear right by Shaul's head, and also a jug of water. And Avishai is tempted to take the spear and just kill Shaul. And David says, no, you can't kill Shaul. He was anointed by Hashem. He was chosen to be the Melech. And it's not my... I'm not in a position to do that. And he makes a shvua. And the Medrash says that he has to make a shvua to his Yetzer Hara, that he was so driven to kill Shaul, and he had to hold back, that he had to make a shvua to Hashem that he wasn't going to do it. And he ends up... The end of the story was that he, instead of killing Shaul, he takes the spear and he takes the jug and he leaves. And in the morning, he's far away. He's in this other mountain across from Shaul, and he yells out to Shaul, and he says, look, basically, I took your spear and your jug of water. I had an opportunity to kill you, and I didn't kill you. Stop chasing me. So he was trying to stop Shaul from chasing after him. So that was the story over there. And David was so, his yetzer was so strong that he had to make a shvuah. He had to swear to it in order to not give in to it. And then finally, there's the story of in Rus by Boaz. Look in source number 16. It says, Lini alayla v'haya v'boker migalech tov yigael v'mloyach potz ligalech ugealticha anochi chay Hashem shechvi ala boker. So he says that he's going to try to redeem her and marry her, but up till that point, stay with me until the morning. So he had to, the Torah says that he, or the Medrash says that he had to create a shvua, he had to swear to his Yetzer Hara in order to not sleep with Rus. So what's the idea over here? Why is there, what value is there in terms of making a shvua, swearing to your Yetzer Hara, in order to prevent yourself from giving into it? So why do it? How does it work over there? Okay, anybody have any possibilities? How does it work? Anybody?
I don't know about the but psychologically, I think taking a shvuah has an effect.
How? So explain. Yes, I agree to. But how does it affect you?
What's the? You externalize it and you say it explicitly. Like, I definitely want to do this. It just makes it very clear in your mind what you want to do.
Okay, you don't want to do it though. He's making a shvuah to not doing it. And he's saying, Chai Hashem, if I do it, then I'll be, like, my dam will be mixed with his dam. Dam chlem damo. Meaning he's trying to prevent himself from doing it. Yosef makes a shvuah to not do it. He says, God knows, and I'm not going to do it because God knows. Or Boaz too. Boaz makes a shvuah to not do it. They're almost creating a shvuah to create an isser on themselves to doing these things. So why do they have to create a shvuah? What's the value of the shvuah? You're right, it is a psychological idea. But what is that idea? Let's just try to pinpoint it. So I think that if you look in source number 19, what is the iser of making a shvuah shav? When you make a shvuah to Hashem and then you break it, it says it's in the Aseres HaDibro. So sisa Hashem Hashem Elokecha l'shav, ki lo yinakeh Hashem isa sher yisha Hashemo l'shav. So there's an iser to say a shvuah shav. To if you say a nonsensical shvuah, if you violate a shvuah, if you end up violating a shvuah, it's not just the violation of a shvuah, but it's also the idea of desecrating the name of Hashem, because whenever you make a shvuah, there's always an idea of using the Shem Hashem to create the shvuah, and whenever you desecrate it and you don't follow through with the shvuah, so it's a violation or it's a denigration of the Shem Hashem. So, for example, if I make a shvuah that I'm not going to eat apples, hypothetically speaking, and then I eat an apple, it's not just, there's no iser in the Torah to eat an apple, but because I made the shvuah and I used Hashem's name in the shvuah, because typically you use the Shem Hashem to swear. So if I violate it, I'm not just violating a personal idea, but I'm violating or denigrating the Shem Hashem, because basically I'm creating a falsity or attaching a falsity to the name of Hashem by violating the shvuah. So what's the idea over here? So it is a psychological point. The point is that they realized that they couldn't control the emotions internally, that they were starting to justify it. Look at by Boaz. If you go back to the Medrash, it says by Boaz that the Medrash was that his Yetzer Hara was saying to him, "You're single, she's single, just sleep with her." Basically, when your emotions are really, really strong, your mind starts to justify it, and your mind starts working on you, and it says, "Oh, you know, the emotions are driving everything." But your mind starts saying, "Okay, why can't I sleep with her? You know, I'm single, she's single." You start working it out in your head, even by Yosef. So Yosef was with this beautiful woman, and she was trying to trick him and entice him, and his emotions were so strong that he couldn't control them, you know, internally. He couldn't stop his raging emotions on their own. And in fact, there's a Medrash by Yosef before we answer the idea. What the idea is, the Medrash says, and Rashi quotes it, that he had to see the image of his father in order to prevent him from having bia with Ishis Potiphar. That idea is that he had to tie himself to the image of his father, to the authority figure, in order to prevent him, that he couldn't control it internally, he couldn't stop himself internally. But the idea of a shvua is that you're attaching the idea, another idea, to the iser, which is you're attaching the idea that this is going to be a chil Hashem if I do it. It's not just that it's going to be harmful to me, and that if I do it, I'm going to be giving into my lust, and I'm going to be allowing my lust to control me. That's not the only issue here. When you create a shvua, you're attaching an idea of, if I do this, I'm also denigrating the Shem Hashem. I'm creating a chil Hashem. And that, in a person's mind, could have a stronger impact or a more powerful impact in order to prevent you from doing something that you can't control internally, you can't control on your own. So that's the point over here. The point is that in all these situations, by the first one and the third one, it was the lust. But by David, it was the aggression. He had such a hatred for Shaul, because Shaul was chasing after him for no reason, that really he couldn't control it by itself. He couldn't logically break down the emotion. The emotion was so strong and powerful that it was very difficult for him to withstand it. And the only way he could withstand it is by attaching a new idea to the act of killing Shaul, which is that if I do this, I will be creating a chil Hashem. I will be denigrating the Shem Hashem, and I'll be creating a chil Hashem. And that's what he was doing in his mind. He was trying to attach an idea of chil Hashem to the act, instead of just the act being harmful towards him, or the act being against the Ratzon of Hashem. Now there's also an idea of creating a chil Hashem by doing this act. And in doing so, they were all able to prevent themselves from doing the Avera. So this Medrash is a beautiful Medrash. It's showing you that even in the throes of the lust and the emotions and the drives, the best way to control it is sometimes you have to, even if the idea doesn't exist internally in the act, they created in their mind, or they were able to create in their mind, the idea of Chil Hashem, and attach the potential for Chil Hashem in doing these actions to the actions themselves. And that way they were able to prevent themselves from doing it. So that, I think that's the idea of the Medrash. So let me just summarize. There's really two ideas in the Shir. And that's why the title of the Shir is Kissing and Controlling Your Yetzer. So there's two parts. There's the kissing part and the controlling your Yetzer part. The kissing part is that kissing in general is just an emotional and instinctual expression, except for in situations where we said that there's a potential for separation, distance between two human beings. And a lot of times distance creates negativity. It creates festering, harmful emotions. So the kiss is supposed to bypass that. The kiss creates a bond, and it says, let's leave the awkwardness behind us and move forward. And in all those situations, gedula, when the person achieves a higher level, when you separate from a person, when you meet a person after a long time, so there's a benefit to a kiss, because it creates an immediate bond that's beneficial philosophically, psychologically. And then lastly, by Yaakov and Rachel, it was also the idea of relative, that you're tapping into that natural familial emotion that is beneficial. But Yaakov recognized that he had to tap into that, so he kissed her. He kissed Rachel in order to create that bond. And then finally, the second part of this shir is about how to control your yetzer. And we saw in three situations that Yosef and David and Boaz were in the throes of their yetzer hara, and it was really difficult for them to control it. They couldn't justify it. Their mind was weak, and they were almost being controlled by the yetzer hara. So what they did was they created a shvua. So we said, what is the idea of creating a shvua? The idea of creating a shvua is attaching an idea in their mind of chil Hashem to the act that they were going to do. So now once they're almost making it into a chil Hashem, and almost an idea of chatasi lelokim, meaning it's not just a chait towards, it's not just not following the ratzon Hashem, it's not just an idea in harming myself and harming my own perfection, but it's also an idea of creating a chil Hashem. So once they attach that, it created it gave them a strength to withstand the emotions and the instincts, and it gave them the ability to not give in to those instinctual drives. So that's the limud of what we learned from Yosef, David, and Boaz from Megillas Rus. So again, so the shir was tied to Megillas Rus, because all these midrashim, although these midrashim are in all those places as well, they're in the Torah, and all those cases that are presented in the midrashim have the same ideas presented over there. But in particular, we have two ideas in Rus that are tied to the Midrashim, the kiss of Orpah and her returning to her Avodah Zarah, and the idea of Boaz when he was alone with Rus being able to withstand the enticement of Rus. So that's the idea. Okay, so everybody have a good Shabbos. Any questions?
Yeah. Can you please explain again the idea
of Chilul Hashem? Yeah, the idea is that in general, when you do Naveira, it's either harmful to you, or it's harmful because you're not following the Ratzon Hashem. So let's say I eat cheeseburger, for example. So when I eat a cheeseburger, I'm harming myself because there's a perfection in keeping kosher, but I'm also not following the Ratzon Hashem. But if my emotions are really strong, I really want that cheeseburger. So eventually you could talk yourself into it. If the stronger the emotions are, the more control it has over your mind, then you can start justifying it. Maybe if it's just a little bit of cheese or a little bit of meat, or, you know, you start justifying it. But once you say, or once you create a shvua, so what you're doing is that you're attaching the idea or the identity of Hashem to the act. Now, in doing so, if you were to violate the act, it wouldn't just be a personal imperfection, and it wouldn't be just be anymore not following Ratzon Hashem, but you'd also be creating a Chil Hashem, because you're attaching the act itself to the Shem Hashem. Just like any Shvua, whenever you make a Shvua, if you say, I'm not going to eat an apple, and hypothetically speaking, and I say, by the name of Hashem, I will never eat apples again, let's say, and I'm not saying that, Bli Shvua, whatever, but let's say you said that, by the name of Hashem, I'm not going to eat apples. So if you were to eat that apple, it won't just be an imperfection, but you're creating a Chil of the Shem Hashem, because you made the Shvua with the Shem Hashem, you're attaching this action to the truth of Hashem, and now by violating it, you're also creating a Chil Hashem, because the Shem Hashem is now attached to something false, something that wasn't true. Here too, Yosef was saying that if I do this action, I'm not only, he says, I'm not going to do this action, just like I'm not going to eat an apple, by the name of Hashem. By doing the action, he's not just creating an imperfection in himself, but he's also creating a Chil Hashem. He's attaching the Shem Hashem to falseness, and that's like a greater Isser. It's like a greater sin. Same thing with David, same thing with Boaz.